All right. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Daily Breeze Pure Preps podcast. Back again for another week. This is Matt Lopez here with Prep Sports editor Tony Siniglio. And the D-Day is finally upon us. Sarah versus Narbonne, the game you've been waiting all summer for, Tony. I know.
I've been waiting since last year.
Since last year for it, yeah. It's but before we get into that, just want to remind people you can – and we want to tell you again because we're getting a lot of great tweets on Friday nights, but definitely follow us, ask us questions, whatever you want to do, follow scoring updates. You're going to want to follow Friday because we're going to have Tony out, Sarah versus Narbonne. He'll be live tweeting from there. If for some reason you can't go to the game, which if you're ever going to get off your butt and go to a high school football game, this is the one to go to. But if you stay at home or if you're at work, Tony will be providing updates at the Breeze Preps Twitter handle. Also, of course, insidesocal.com/South Bay Preps. And, of course, you can take part in the prep football pick'em at billybreeze.com/preps. But for this week, I mean, where do you start with this football game? Narbonne, Sarah, like you said, you've been waiting for it since last year. Where do you even begin with, you know, comparing these two teams and, you know, just it's just – where do you start?
Well, the reason I'm excited about it is because these are two very similar teams. I mean, Narbonne just has superior athleticism and speed. They showed that in just dismantling the Moore League the past 2 weeks, Long Beach Poly, and even the last week against Lakewood on national TV. Narbonne's stepping up to every test. Sarah's actually a team that can keep up with them athletically and has the speed to do it. Whether they can do it the whole game, I mean, if Narbonne continues to play at that level, maybe no one touches them this year, but if there's a team that can play with them, it's Sarah, and you know the Cavaliers are going to be ready under Scott Altenberg. He coaches well, and he gets his team ready, and they're very focused, and they have performed in big games. They've been in bowls. They know what it takes.
For me, you know, I haven't seen Narbonne yet. I saw Sarah last Friday. What's the biggest matchup for you in this game? Because to me, I'm really excited to see the Sarah defense actually versus the offense. You know, Troy Williams and all, you know, AJ Richardson. Because I mean, traditionally you think Sarah, you think offense, but their defense looks really strong this year. And like you said, for Narbonne, the talent, the athletes they have, I don't know. You know, I mean, obviously Pauly's up there, but they might not see a whole combination of athleticism, toughness, smarts. They might not see that combination as strongly from anybody else this year as they're going to see it from Sarah's defense.
I think they're pretty equal or very similar on both sides of the ball. I think it's going to come down to the line play. Narbonne's got some beast defensively that just destroy offensive lines. It's whether Sarah's offensive line can hold up. We know that Ontario Bateman's going to make plays for Sarah. Jalen Green's going to make plays for Sarah. Troy Williams and AJ Richardson are going to thrive for Narbonne. It's whether who provides the most protection, and it's going to actually come down to that matchup. If they can hold off the Paolo Lapuas of Narbonne and Keyshawn Beery is. I mean, those two guys can take over and dominate a game. And Narbonne's defense hasn't been scored upon yet this year. The six was a pick six last week against Lakewood. So I think Narbonne's going to give up points eventually this year. Maybe Sarah's the team to do it. Maybe not. But I think it's going to be a fun matchup. It's going to be a track meet. I mean, Coach Douglas said tonight there's probably 10 or 12 players on that field who be playing Division I football at some point. So.
Yeah, well, that's a good point you brought up that I wanted to ask you about. And I know you haven't seen Sarah in a couple weeks now, but you've seen him and you've seen him in practice and stuff like that. And based off of what you've seen and just what you've read the last couple weeks, and, you know, my take on him last Friday, and Scott Altenberg kind of said the same thing, was that their offense really hasn't even hit stride even close yet. I mean, they haven't been scoring as much as Sarah traditionally does. They still seem to be kind of feeling their way through it. Is that what you've taken away from kind of following the program? And given how tough Narbonne's defense is, like you said, what is the offense? What is Sarah's offense in for this week?
Oh, I mean, we saw Sarah. I saw Sarah against Long Beach Poly, and it was before the 56-0 shellacking that Narbonne put on them. But Sarah didn't do a whole lot offensively in that game. They didn't move the ball very much, which was rare. I mean, Sarah normally moves the chains pretty well. It's but they had timely. They forced timely turnovers, got the ball deep in territory, in Long Beach Poly territory, and scored quickly, and then their defense held up. I mean, they're gonna their offensive numbers have been kind of ugly so far. I know they'll get help by playing Banning last week, but they still haven't had that big explosive breakout game, and maybe it's coming. Like I said, it's going to come down to that line battle, whether they can hold off the Lapuas and the Berias from Narbonne, because if they don't, it's going to be a long night. No one's moving on Narbonne these days, like, very freely. And that defense is pretty legit. They swarm with the ball. They have one objective in mind. It's get the ball. Find the ball.
All right. So you'll be out there tweeting from the game. I'll put you on the spot. You don't have to answer it because you're going to be surrounded by fans of both teams. Whichever one you don't pick will probably be upset at you. Do you want to make a pick in this one, or do you want to reserve the right to pick after the game's over?
That's what I was going to say. I was going to reserve the right to pick after the game. I do think it'll be. I don't think it'll be the 56-0 route that Narbonne's been putting on people. I think it'll be closer. How close? I don't know. I mean, like I said, if Narbonne continues to play at this high level, there's no one that's going to be touching them. But Sarah, I think Sarah remembers losing to them last year, and it didn't sit well. Then at the same point, Narbonne remembers getting crushed by Sarah 2 years ago, and they still haven't forgotten that. I talked with Troy this week, Troy Williams, and he said that we have not forgotten. I think both sides are going to play with something to prove. It's a local matchup. These guys know each other. This isn't just Narbonne Poly or Sarah Notre Dame. Like, these guys know each other. And I think that'll add to this battle a little bit. It's going to be fun. It's our game of the year.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's safe to say probably that whichever team wins this is really putting itself in the driver's seat for state bowl consideration, I would assume, right?
The way Narbonne's been playing, I think they might be able to afford a loss because they play and that they could go into the Division I bowl or even the open division, and there are a couple extra slots this year with the semifinal games. If they lose this week to Sarah, then they have to Modern Day next week, and they put themselves in a really tough position because two losses probably won't get them through. If Sarah wins, I mean, they still have a really tough schedule the rest of the way, but they would look pretty good, and obviously they've been there before. They have that name recognition, and I think they figure out ways to win. I said their numbers are ugly, but they're still finding ways to win the games, and ultimately that's what counts. So,
well, it'll be a good one, and like we said, Breeze Prep's Twitter handle can keep you up to date there. Check out the newspaper for all your updates on the game throughout the next couple of days. And there are other games this Friday. Hard to believe, but there are other football games going on. And one of the other big ones, South Torrance at West Torrance at 7 p.m. This will be kind of a clash of styles, I think, you know, kind of physical ground and pound versus the Notchers and the run and gun offense or whatever they're doing there now. You saw West last week. Did it live up to the hype? Did Notchamania live up to the hype?
Notch did fine last week. Their first drive was just impressive. I think he went like 5 for 5 and capped it with like this lob of a touchdown to Notch. They looked really good. They were up 21-0. Everything's going right. But they also make big plays, like when El Segundo started coming back, as you knew El Segundo would. They're gritty. West had this big kick return by Dane Silverlake. They do it defensively. They had 11 sacks, which is amazing. Pat Bozen, it really was an animal. I think he had 5 of them last week. And, Barry Thomas had a couple big runs for them. They're a balanced team. This is the best West team I've seen in a few years. South is kind of the same way as El Segundo. They're gritty. Yes, they're a running team. They run the ball, and they're proud of that. And that's when you know what you do well and you do it, that's great to see. And I think South played well against Costa for a little bit before Costa finally put that game away last week. So it'll be an interesting matchup. It's West's 50th anniversary celebration as well. So there should be a lot of pageantry at this game.
Oh, that'll be cool. And I guess if you're the Spartans, I mean, you kind of talked about it, but the goal's pretty much got to just be ground and pound and drain the clock and, you know, keep the ball out of that high-octane offense for West Torrance, right?
The West defense is pretty impressive, too. I mean, it's up there to be ready for this game. It can be tough playing West, and I think West is really hitting stride right now. And I mean, even El Segundo game probably wasn't the best effort for them overall, but I mean, they still look pretty darn impressive. So, all sides of the ball.
Another big game of the week, a former South Bay coach, Loyola, and former Carson coach Mike Christensen heading to MiraCosta to take on the Mustangs. We talk about them every week, but I mean, just the development of MiraCosta. You said last week that if they throw, I can't remember, you said if they throw the ball, it should be a penalty or something like that.
Yeah, they should be flagged every time they throw the ball, but they're actually fairly effective with a new quarterback last week. He did it on the ground, a little bit in the air. This is a big game for Costa, though. They've lost to Loyola each of the last 4 years since they restarted this rivalry. It is a rivalry game, too. These kids know each other. A lot of Manhattan Beach and Hermosa Beach residents go up to Loyola. And if Costa's ever going to beat Loyola, this would be the year to do it. For whatever reason, Loyola seems to have their number. I think Coach Christensen does a great job up there. He was one of our favorites when he was down here at Carson. That's two well-coached teams going at it, and that would be a fun game to watch.
Yeah, should definitely be a good one. 7 p.m. at MiraCosta for that one, for the kickoff for that one. Another big game of the week, the San Pedro Pirates, big non-league game for them, hosting Fairfax. And San Pedro, if you didn't see the paper the last couple of days or didn't go online, they lost their quarterback. What can you tell the listeners about that and just about who's stepping in there and just what that whole situation is?
San Pedro is a tough game this week. Fairfax has impressed so far this year. They're out of the Western League. This game will have a lot of playoff implications because the city section looks at these city matchups to determine it more so than playing out of area, out of section teams like a modern day. This game will carry a lot of weight. Pedro lost their quarterback last week in the fourth quarter with a knee injury. I think Coach Walsh said he's out 3 to 4 weeks. But this kid worked so hard to get in that position. He was really having a good year, too. Hate to see that kind of thing happen. The Pirates are hoping that Jimmy Bryant can come in and step in for Nick Johnson. Bryant is kind of a toolsy guy. He passes the eye test. He's like 6'2", and throws the ball pretty well. They're hoping they can fill the leadership role that Nick Johnson did on that team. This will be a tough matchup. I mean, Fairfax looks pretty good on paper, so.
Yeah, a tough one. And another tough one for a Bay League team, Redondo hosting Orange Lutheran, 7:30 p.m. Friday. And you talk about ambitious scheduling. I mean, this is definitely this team's trying to get themselves prepared for the season. Probably not going to see anybody quite like Orange Lutheran in league play, although West is very good. But
West and Costa are pretty good. I mean, yeah. Orange Lutheran has the name and the reputation behind them, but I mean, they're not the same Orange Lutheran team that we've seen the last couple of years. They're still very good, don't get me wrong. But,
right.
I mean, Redondo went to San Pedro and won earlier this year. They played competitive against Culver City after digging an early hole. I mean, they scored 42 on North and won a shootout earlier this year. I mean, they're doing good things under Matt Ballard, their new coach, and this would be the kind of win that could really propel them. If they could pull this out, and I don't think it's unheard of. I wouldn't call it an upset if they did. Then they can really get going and build some momentum for the what should be a pretty tough Bay League schedule.
That's for sure. Some other games, well, speaking of scheduling, Centennial of Corona at Carson, we have to touch on this because I know that the Carson people are going to, they're probably talking about it, and they probably want to hear other people talking about it, but 72-0, I believe it was, lost last week for Carson. It's been a bit of a bumpy start to the Jimmy Nolan era. I know they've had, you know, some injuries and some players, you know, transferred out or whatever the case may be, but what's your take on that situation now, and can they, obviously they've played probably the toughest schedule in the state, but still, you know, no Carson fan expects to wake up and see 72-0. Can they get this thing turned around, in your opinion?
Probably not this week, but you and I were talking about this a couple weeks ago on podcast. Like, they could realistically end up going 0-7 and still make a run in the playoffs and still possibly win the city title. I mean, like, because they start with Narbonne and Pedro in the league. I think the scheduling is a little ambitious for them. It's ambitious for any team. You need to have, like, we rip on teams all the time for not scheduling very tough. But I think here, I think Carson's scheduling too tough. When you have five of those in a row, I mean, that's kind of demoralizing. 72-0 is kind of demoralizing with a new coach and a young team. I mean, I think they need to take a hard look at their schedule next year. Maybe lop off some of those powerhouses. Some of these other teams weren't scheduling very well. So,
you know, we had somebody ask us this on Twitter about a week or so ago, and if you don't know, then we'll go look it up and get back next week. But the person asked basically how the scheduling works. Basically, did Coach Nolan put this schedule together? I assume that it was the previous coach, Elijah Asante, because they do it like a year or two in advance. Can you shed any light for people wondering about how this Carson schedule kind of came to be or just in general?
Carson doesn't back down from anyone. I mean, like from Christensen to Asante to Nolan. I mean, Nolan wasn't going to back down from the schedule.
I think most of
the schedule was from Asante. Asante did the same thing at L.A. Jordan. He just took on powerhouses, took his beating, and then was ready for league and playoffs. And he did pretty well when he was at Carson. He went to the two straight city finals. But Carson had the team to do it the last couple of years. This is kind of a new team. They're still kind of feeling themselves out. I think Nolan inherited a lot of it. I don't think you're going to see Santa Margarita on the schedule next year. I certainly hope not. I mean,
yeah.
If you're going to beat 72-0 in your proud program like Carson, it's time to make a change. I hope they get some more manageable games on there, so they can build confidence and they can recover from injuries. I can only imagine how playing these five teams can devastate with injuries too. So,
yeah.
Hard to tell how banged up they are, but. Yeah, I mean, I think most of the schedule was intact from Asante. A lot of these teams have been on the schedule for more than a year. I think Centennial Corona's new, but if you're already playing Santa Margarita modern day, then it doesn't seem like a big deal. They really had to win in Fresno, and they didn't do it, and that's where that confidence is kind of lacking right now.
Yeah. Looking for the rest of the schedule, just going down quickly. 3 p.m. should be a good game. Moore Park at Palos Verdes. Englewood at Hamilton.
That should be very competitive, yeah.
Yeah, good game there at 3 p.m. Englewood at Hamilton also at 3 p.m. You got Peninsula at Lawndale at 7:10. Well, Friday night. Torrance at Luzinger, 7 p.m. Banning at Rancho Dominguez, Gardena at University.
Banning at Rancho Dominguez. I mean, Chris Ferragamo must be going nuts. What's going on there?
Yeah, right. It's Gardena at University, and Gardena's got to be on cloud nine right now. They're off to a 3-0 start. One of the best starts I've got to think in many years.
Since 03, I think.
So they're off to a great start and looking to keep that going against University, Morningside at Centennial, El Segundo at Oak Park. You saw El Segundo last week. Any kind of quick thoughts on them from what you saw of them last week?
They're very blue collar. They keep fighting. They grind out yards, and they're well coached. They're a pretty good team. They'll be right in the mix of the Pioneer League title. Oak Park always seems to give them fits for whatever reason. So maybe the trip up there will they'll get it going this time. So
West Adams Prep at Culver City and Coast Union at Rolling Hills Prep, 3 p.m. There's some games on Saturday too. Chadwick versus Bell Jeff, 7 p.m. at Burbank Burroughs. You know, I looked at Chadwick's schedule.
Sorry.
They put like four road games in a row. I don't know what that is, but Chadwick once again on the road. Viewpoint versus Animo and Calvary Chapel of Downey versus Pacific Lutheran at Daniels Field, 11 a.m. on Saturday. So
Matt, you better be there for that one.
I
want a full report. So.
I'll be camped out the night before to get a front row seat. And also, don't forget JC football going on, Long Beach City at El Camino, Saturday, 6 p.m. The Warriors finally got their first win, as we thought they would. And Harbor at Riverside, their brutal schedule continues. They almost pulled off a big comeback win over Ventura last week. But
came down the final
seconds.
Kind of a heartbreaker for the Seahawks.
Yeah, tough loss for them. They have a chance to redeem themselves. Big week of football coming up. Big night of football coming up, I should say. Friday night, Sarah Narbonne, West South, and a bunch of other games too. But Sarah Narbonne, that's going to be the one that you want to follow the Twitter for if you can't make it out to the game. Once again, that's Breeze Preps Twitter handle, dailybreeze.com/preps, insidesocal.com/South Bay Preps. And if you see Tony at the game, don't talk to him because he's busy and he doesn't want to talk to you anyway. So.
speak for yourself there, Matt. I know you like to isolate yourself out there.
Yeah, if you see me, don't talk to me. You can talk to him, but yeah. All right, folks, well, that should do it for this week's podcast. Keep sending in your questions and keep following us, and we will be back to break down what happened at Sarah versus Narbonne on next week's podcast. For Tony, this is Matt. Thanks for listening.